loud and clear.
From the studios of Radio Sputnik in downtown Washington, D.C., it's Loud and Clear. We take you inside the news 5 days a week. It's happening, and it's happening now. I'm Brian Becker, and I'm joined in studio by John Kiriakou. Our program is now 2 hours long. You can hear us every day from Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. on SputnikNews.com and in the Washington, D.C. area at 105.5 FM. In our first hour, we take an in-depth look at the indictments today targeting Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, and George Papadopoulos. What is Special Counsel Mueller's strategy in the ongoing investigation? Are others likely to be indicted? None of the charges seem to be related to Russian interference in the 2016 election, but Russiagate continues to gain steam. We are joined for this panel from New York by Jim Kavanaugh. He is the editor of thepolemicist.net. And we're joined again from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by Dan Kovalik, a human rights lawyer and labor lawyer, who is the author of The Plot to Scapegoat Russia. Welcome back, Jim and Dan.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. So it's been a very, very busy day here in Washington. We have several indictments coming down. The rumors are that several more are in the offing. None of these indictments has anything directly to do with collusion, at least not yet. And none of the indictments have anything to do directly with alleged Russian interference. What exactly should we be looking for from this special prosecutor, former FBI director Mueller? He apparently has dug deep, and sure enough, as we've been saying on this program, if you dig deep enough into anybody's background, you're going to find felonies, and in many cases, multiple felonies. So what's going to happen next? Dan, why don't you start us off?
Especially the backgrounds of very, very rich lobbyists.
That's right.
Yeah, well, so I think, first of all, you know, if we just recap a bit. So with the Manafort allegations have absolutely nothing to do with Russia, mostly dealing with his alleged, you know, financial improprieties relating to Ukraine. And of course, they're trying to somehow link him to Russia by saying he had links to a pro-Russia Ukrainian party. But that seems pretty weak to me. You know, the obviously the George Papadopoulos one has a little more meat on it. But again, it kind of ends at him lying about his own connections to a Russian professor, and that in the end, there's no allegations that really any meetings of any substance took place, certainly between the Trump campaign and any Russian leaders. So right now, I don't think we have very much. So where are we headed with this? The question is whether, you know, Mueller thinks he can make one or more of these people flip on Trump or someone close to Trump, and whether that's where he's moving at this point. And of course, now you saw Tony Podesta, Democrat, resigned from the Podesta group today, apparently because he's now afraid that he's under investigation by Mueller. So the plot continues to thicken.
So we have Paul Manafort, who was campaign chairman for Trump, and Rick Gates, his business partner. They're charged with tax evasion, of keeping money offshore, of lying to the IRS. They have other sort of attendant charges. They are now under house arrest.
Yeah, which is actually quite harsh. I can tell you in my own experience that $10 million bail and $5 million bail are both unusual. On top of that, they had to give up their passports, which is quite common. Everybody who's been indicted on a felony charge has to give up his passport, just so it makes it harder to abscond. But house arrest while you're on bail is harsh. That's tough. That tells me that there might be something to this.
Yeah, and Jim Kavanaugh, you know, Dan Kovalik said there might be something to the Papadopoulos indictment, but Papadopoulos isn't actually indicted for anything, really, it seems to me, other than lying to a federal agent. If you talk to the federal government at all, if you omit a detail, if you sort of hedge, if you try to sort of say, oh, I didn't know that much about it, when in fact you knew quite a bit about it, that's lying, and that's a serious felony. And that's why everybody's told don't talk to the FBI because they're not going to ask you a question they don't know the answer to. If you give the answer that's a little bit different, you're going to get indicted. This guy, it seems to me, he flipped right away. I mean, he pled guilty right away. We didn't know this. He pled guilty on July 27th about discussions he had with the FBI about, quote, lying to the FBI. And now he's cooperating. So there you have it. In other words, this is knock down a pin, get to another pin, and have each of them assisting you along the way to save their own skins, right?
Yes, I believe so. First of all, thanks for having me. Lying to the FBI. It's, you know, this is the Martha Stewart deal. You know, if you lie to me, then this is what they're going to get them on. They're going to get them on certainly financial hijinks, money laundering. As your other guest said, the Podesta group is involved with Ukraine too. Ukraine is awash in corruption, and everybody's been feeding off that trough for years. And lying to the FBI. And they can get you on just about anything. It's the old three felonies a day rule. You know, it's a standard thing that a prosecutor can always find anybody guilty of three felonies. Everybody commits three felonies a day that could be prosecuted if somebody wanted to. So they'll get someone in there. And this guy, Papadopoulos, certainly was a character who rolled over right away. He's obviously afraid. But as you say, what was the charge against him? He gave him the wrong date for when he met this guy, or he told them that he met him, I think, before or after. So it's, you know, but they'll get him on these little things that carry significant penalties for someone who doesn't want to be in jail at all, you know, 5 years in jail. So they'll get him to try and pressure. And I think that there is a danger for Trump or anybody in the American political class of financial hijinks and money laundering and corruption. And this is clearly something that I think that's going to be, if there's meat on it, it's going to be meat in terms of financial corruption. And they're going to try and get people successively to roll over on everybody else. So, you know, Manafort laundered money. Hey, don't doubt it. But that's not a political issue.
I think that's exactly right. What you have here in Papadopoulos is someone who is young and inexperienced and in over his head, and he's frightened. He made the mistake of speaking to the FBI, and you know, this is what the FBI does. They're good at it. They're good at getting people to trip up on their own words, and then they say, well, you said A when we spoke to you the first time, and you said B when we spoke to you the second time. That's a felony. We're going to charge you with a felony. You're facing up to 5 years in prison. Realistically, he's not facing up to 5 years in prison, but that's the threat. And so they say, you can save yourself by flipping and turning informant against other people, because certainly there are bigger fish to fry. And those fish are people like Manafort and Carter Page and Mike Flynn and others that will likely be indicted in the coming days and weeks. So this is exactly what Mueller's plan is. This is exactly what his intent is. It's the beginning of it. And I think we'll see lots more indictments. And I think most of those charges will be what we called last week throwaway charges, things like making a false statement, conspiracy, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the three felonies a day rule, we all commit things like conspiracy and wire fraud and mail fraud and making a false statement and perjury and such. But I think this is the beginning. And the goal is to get more and more people to flip, to take a plea, and then at the end go after President Trump or Manafort or whoever the biggest fish is.
Any kind of indictment against Trump will help. And if it's an indictment about tax cheating or money laundering or financial irregularity, it's an indictment. It's going to look bad. But, you know, politically, I don't know that's going to help anybody. Trump's supporters may or may not be impressed by that. And they're going to see this as they're trying to get him out of there, trying to get the guy we voted for out of there.
Okay, I want to read a little bit from, it's called the website hotair.com. It sort of helps summarize for the audience what's going on here. We have Paul Manafort, who was doing lobbying for political parties and perhaps the president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych. Yanukovych was overthrown in a U.S.-backed coup d'etat in February 2014. Before that, in the fall of 2013, Yanukovych had been given an ultimatum by the EU to accept an association agreement for Ukraine to enter the EU. It was an austerity program, basically. Yanukovych said no to the EU ultimatum, and that began large-scale protests by forces in the western part of Ukraine and in Kiev who wanted to overthrow the government because they want Ukraine to integrate into the EU. Yanukovych was not a pro-Russian president. Yanukovych was actually playing both sides, in effect. He was both working with the Russian government, but not working with the EU. He wanted a different deal with the EU. The characterization in the U.S. media that Yanukovych is Vladimir Putin's puppet is actually not accurate. Now, here's the thing. Manafort was working with Yanukovych, and he was working with a nonprofit called the European Center for Modern Ukraine, which was helping Yanukovych and Yanukovych's party, trying to buy influence, basically, in Washington. Now, Tony Podesta, who is the brother of John Podesta, and John Podesta was the campaign chairperson for Hillary Clinton's campaign and a co-founder with Tony Podesta of the Podesta Group, was in fact working with Paul Manafort, working with the person who became Donald Trump's campaign chairperson, that person who is now under house arrest. And the indictment of Manafort, identifies a company A and a company B that were helping Manafort in Washington to do lobbying on behalf of Yanukovych. One of those companies will undoubtedly turn out to be the Podesta Group. Tony Podesta just left the group today. He resigned, and he anticipates, according to Politico, that he too will be indicted. So you have Democrats and Republicans and lobbyists in general working with a corrupt government in Ukraine to spread influence in Washington. And Paul Manafort is accused of having received large amounts of money from Ukrainian businesses, kept that money in offshore accounts, didn't report it to the IRS, didn't pay taxes with it, used that money to buy properties in the United States, and then used those properties as collateral when he went to try to get other bank loans from the banks here. And the indictment of Manafort insists that Manafort was defrauding the banks because they gave him a lower interest rate for those loans because he used collateral that was purchased with income that had not been reported to the IRS. Okay, that shows criminal activity if in fact it's true, if it's proven to be true. And who worked with him? Tony Podesta, perhaps. That's what the indictment will probably assert. Again, none of this proves that Yanukovych is the puppet of Putin, that Manafort and Podesta are, in fact, working with the Russians or a pro-Russian government, and that they were doing any of this for anything other than what these lobbyists always do, which is to get rich.
Right.
Go ahead, Jim Kavanaugh.
Yeah, that's, I think, actually right. This is a bipartisan corruption. And, you know, it's also just, you know, I'm going to make some money off guys who have a ton of money and are willing to throw it away on me. You know, I'll help Yanukovych or whoever. And you're absolutely right. Yanukovych spent years promoting the EU deal himself. And only when it came on the table and he said, oh, my God, this is not really very good for us. And the Russians are giving us a better deal. And it was the Americans and the Europeans who said, you cannot take both. The Russians were saying, why don't we cooperate on this? And the Europeans and the Americans said, no, you have to choose one or the other. And when he saw the final deal that the EU put on the table, I wrote about this extensively in my blog, it was, you know, oh, I can't take this. But he had already spent the previous two years promoting this EU deal. So he got hoisted on his own petard in that respect. And I suspect that the Democrats themselves are a little bit worried about where a probe into financial corruption like this, money laundering, offshore accounts might go. And as you say, it's already going to the Podesta Group. So we'll have to see what else happens on this. I don't know whether Mueller is going to pursue every way or whether he's really just out to get Trump.
Well, there's another side to this, John, because if people are just reading the headlines, which is creating smoke, and where there's smoke, there must be fire. But there's also that fire has certain assumptions. Yanukovych is working with the Russians. Yanukovych is a puppet of the Russians. He's a puppet of Vladimir Putin. Ipso facto, if you're working with Manafort, lobbying for Manafort, you're in fact working for the Russians. I actually believe that the Russian government looked at Manafort's intervention and Tony Podesta's intervention in Ukraine, not in a good way, not as a way of buying influence for Moscow in Washington, But they looked at that as an attempt by U.S. lobbying firms that were very well connected to the Democratic and Republican Party trying to woo Yanukovych, which was a neutral government between East and West, between NATO and Russia, woo them and bring them into an American sphere of influence. That would not have made Vladimir Putin and the Russians very happy, because Ukraine was the second largest Soviet republic, the historic ally of Russia. Of course, big parts of the country speak Russian, are Russian culturally and in terms of identity. The Russians, in fact, would be worried about Manafort and Podesta trying to woo and bring Yanukovych into an American sphere of influence. That's how I see it.
I think you're probably right. You know, Putin is a very sophisticated international political player, and he can see three or four steps ahead, just like, you know, many of our seasoned political operatives can. There's a fascinating quote in Politico magazine by Peter Zeidenberg, who's a partner at Arent Fox, an A-list law firm here in Washington, D.C. And Zeidenberg was also assistant special counsel in the prosecution of Scooter Libby about a decade ago. And he says something very concise. He says, "Manafort is a distraction. He is potential evidence of collusion and the bright, shiny object everyone will be chasing in the short term. The real story here is Papadopoulos. He's the key. He's going to take down multiple campaign officials and advisors." I can't help but to think that that's true, that we're all focused on Manafort right now and possibly an indictment of Flynn and others. But I think that we're underestimating the import of Papadopoulos in this case.
Well, and take them down. You can take them down in this atmosphere just by saying whatever the investigators want you to say.
That's absolutely right. And that's what happens in a climate of fear.
Yeah. We're going to have to take a short break. We're talking with Jim Kavanaugh and with Dan Kovalik. You're listening to Loud and Clear. After a short break, we'll be right back.
Loud and Clear.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR.
Loud and Clear.
Welcome back to Loud and Clear. I'm Brian Becker.
And I'm John Kiriakou.
We're going to spend the full hour talking about the indictment of Paul Manafort et al., what it means, and whether other indictments are soon to come. We're joined for this panel from New York by Jim Kavanaugh. He is the editor of thepolemicist.net. And we are joined from Pittsburgh by Dan Kovalik, a human rights and labor lawyer who is the author of The Plot to Scapegoat Russia. John Kiriakou, the indictment of Manafort and Gates and Papadopoulos has to do with tax evasion, massive money laundering, working as an unregistered foreign lobbying firm, and perhaps that will now come to pass also for Tony Podesta or the Podesta Group. Again, Tony Podesta and John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairperson, founded that group. John Podesta is no longer with the group. Are there going to be other indictments, John? It certainly looks like we're on the eve of other big breaking news here.
I think we might be. There's a tweet by Steve Riley who says that the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia has four sealed cases in its docket with case numbers between Papadopoulos, who's number 182, and Manafort, who's number 201. So what he's saying here is that there are sealed indictments where the defendant's name is redacted, and those are defendants numbers 190, 198, 200, and 201, who have already been indicted, and we don't know the identities. Now, if Papadopoulos and Manafort were both sealed until today, it stands to reason that these other four people who have been indicted will be unsealed soon. So it looks like we're at the very beginning of this whole process.
Yeah, Dan Kovalik. Paul Manafort organized, as I mentioned before, a PR campaign, publicity campaign, on behalf of the nonprofit called the European Center for Modern Ukraine. Podesta Group was one of the several firms that were paid to do work on this PR campaign, or that's the story, to promote Ukraine in the United States. Now, the Podesta Group filed paperwork with the Justice Department in April, stating that it had done work for the European Center for Modern Ukraine that also benefited the same Ukrainian political party that Manafort once advised. That's the Regions Party. Podesta Group said at the time it believed its client was a European think tank untethered to a political party. So to just understand this development, I'm going to go back to this story, which I think breaks it down well in Hot Air website. To understand this development, read the Manafort-Gates indictment, specifically allegations about, quote, Company A and Company B. That's how they talk in prosecutorial indictment language. They're not identifying who Company A or B is, but we're thinking it's the Podesta Group. In paragraphs 20 to 26, during that time, Manafort allegedly conducted massive money laundering, tax evasion, and unregistered foreign lobbying. Quote, from this is from the indictment, as part of the scheme, in February 2012, Manafort and Gates solicited two Washington companies, firms Company A and B, to lobby in the United States on behalf of Yanukovych, the Party of Regions, and the government of Ukraine. For instance, Gates wrote to Company A that it would be, quote, representing the government of Ukraine in Washington, D.C. That was the contract that this Company A, is this the Podesta Group? That's what we're thinking right now. We'll find out soon. You know, when you think about the big picture, we have all those photos of Bill and Hillary standing with Donald Trump and his girlfriend or wife, and they're hugging and kissing. They're all buds. Well, so are the Podestas and so are the Manaforts. I mean, here in Washington, D.C., and before Russiagate became a thing, not only did we know lobbyists do corrupt things, but they do all these things together. They're all buddies. They're friends. And in fact, they have contracts together working for, apparently, the same Ukraine government, which has now been labeled as nothing other than an extension of Russian power in Ukraine. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack here. As you say, I think it appears that there's a lot of allegations of corruption to go around to members of both parties, the Democrats and Republicans. To me, though, what's, I think, lost in all of this, although, you know, people are going to, I think, have the wrong focus, is the question is, how does this bear upon Russia's culpability for any of this? And again, up till now, it bears very little on it. You know, I don't see the hand of Russia in this. And yet, because it's all related to the Russia investigation, that's how it's being built. I even saw a headline saying, you know, Manafort's indicted for Russia-related, you know, crimes or whatever, and they're not Russia-related. So, again, when from my point of view, the thing to focus on, because I care about, you know, this issue of a possible confrontation with Russia, is what has Russia done here, or what do these allegations have to do with Russia? And I see very little, and I think that's what people need to continue focusing on. The other issue, of course, that's lost in all this is the coup in Ukraine in 2014, which Obama supported, and looking at the nature of the government there now, which is, you know, has ties to neo-Nazis there. Again, the big picture tends to be lost in all this minutiae. I have no doubt that a lot of heads are going to roll in this investigation, but my prediction is that very little will have a bearing on Russia itself.
Dan, I think you're right. There are separate issues here, and the Manafort indictment has literally nothing to do with the idea of Russian collusion. With that said, there's another interesting Politico piece. I guess I really like Politico today, and it's called Six Key Findings from Papadopoulos's Guilty Plea in Russia Probe. A couple of these are not really on point. Papadopoulos made a materially false statement to the FBI in a January interview. Okay, true. He lied about meeting a professor with substantial ties to the Kremlin. He discussed dirt on Hillary Clinton and her, quote, thousands of emails. He met with someone described as a relative of Putin, and he tried to set up a meeting between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin. So I think what everybody, Brian, is hanging on right now is Papadopoulos the tie between the investigation, which is going in so many different directions, we really don't understand, we're not privy to the information, know exactly where it's going, and Russian collusion. Maybe there's Russian collusion still out there that we don't know about. And if so, is Papadopoulos the key to that?
And will he say, again, anything that the investigators want him to say?
You bet he will, because he's going to try to save himself.
Well, here's the thing. I want to go back to Dan's point, and I think it is really important. to sort of not see only the trees. We should look at the forest. And the forest is the sort of attack against Russia and blaming Russia for everything. And how the media, even though the indictments show nothing about collusion, nothing. Let's start with that. Nothing. No collusion. Again, here we are 16, 17, 18 months after this all began, still no piece of hard evidence. And the indictment doesn't start with hard evidence. I mean, you would think if they had something, wouldn't you start the indictment with something that shows collusion instead of just trying to beat people down with heavy charges and then get them to say anything? But I want to read what the New York Times, how the New York Times presented it, because it's exactly what Dan is saying. Here it is. Conspicuously absent from the charging documents against Mr. Manafort and Mr. Gates, any mention of campaign-related interaction between the two men and Russia or between the Trump campaign and Russia. That's conspicuously absent. Then the article goes on. American spy agencies have concluded that Russia acted to help Mr. Trump's candidacy during the election, and part of Mr. Mueller's task is to investigate whether the campaign coordinated with them. So you have, it's conspicuously absent, it's not there, but the investigation exists, and thus that means something must be there. And then the next paragraph, however, in a separate case on Monday, a foreign policy advisor to Mr. Trump's campaign, George Papadopoulos, pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about a contact with a professor with ties to the Kremlin official. So here we have it. No evidence, conspicuously absent, and by inference, by the way the article is organized, by the reference to the investigation exists, thus there must be a reason for it to exist, and that reason must mean that there was collusion. That leaves the reader falsely with the idea that something that happened today was harmful to Trump's assertion that there was no conclusion.
And take the intelligence community's word for it. That's what they always say.
Yeah.
ODNI, CIA director, take our word for it.
No, I think, you know, this is the point. They don't really have to get anything on Russia. They're going to get an indictment for something, you know. And in the big picture, again, you know, bringing up, I think it is very important to bring up what happened in Ukraine and what's still happening in Ukraine with the fascists who are in the government and are pushing the government towards confrontation with Russia, and are trying to provoke Russian intervention in eastern Ukraine, and may do that. And also, again, the question of course, Russia may have tried to influence the American election in some way, or tried to make contact with a party and with one of the candidates that was running. But this is standard operating procedure. And it's just incredible to me that you can make a deal about whatever Russia tried to do to contact Trump campaign or any other campaign, when you have this enormous Israeli lobby that is running American, has enormous influence on American political parties and American political campaigns, and, you know, exerts influence through billionaire donors who announce that their main purpose in life is to make sure everything goes right for Israel. So this is kind of, you know, the hypocrisy of this is just so glaring. I don't know. But of course, that's never reported on. So,
yeah, I mean, there's different sides to this. There's the hypocrisy. And I agree with you. The Podesta Group is a registered foreign agent for Saudi Arabia, by the way.
Right.
And the U.S. government gave Saudi Arabia during the Obama years $110 billion in contracts. And when Donald Trump became president, his first trip overseas was to Saudi Arabia, where he promised them another $110 billion in contracts. So you obviously can make the argument that other countries are trying to have influence in Washington, and nobody makes a big deal out of it. In fact, it's not complained about at all. That's true. But then there's the other part of the story, which is the facts themselves, or the absence of facts. And Mueller was given the charge to carry out an investigation of Russia collusion, perhaps, the allegation of collusion. But actually, his mandate is so broad, John, he can actually investigate anything. And thus, if the goal is to get guys like George Papadopoulos, who nobody knows anything about, who never was a really significant foreign policy advisor, who was a fringe element and get him because he said he did something on one day when he did it on another day, and that's lying to a federal agent, and you can go to jail for 10 years. You get guys like that then willing to say anything to stay out of prison, so finally you can get something. But that's not what the American people deserve. The American people actually at this point deserve the facts. If we're all going to start hating Russia, or if the Democrats are going to start, or liberals are going to start loving the FBI, which apparently they do now,
right?
And love George W. Bush. George W. Bush had a 6% approval rating from Democrats when he left. Now 51% of Democrats support George W. Bush, have a high regard for him, this war criminal, because he too sort of mildly chastised Donald Trump. I mean, if we're in that kind of a climate, then this whole investigation is in fact not only a waste of time, not only a distraction, but a grave injustice, in fact, not because Manafort's not guilty, not because Podesta's not guilty, but because how it plays in politics.
You're exactly right, Brian. And this is the nature of special prosecutors or special counsels, is that their mandate is literally unlimited. So long as Congress continues to fund them, they can go forever indicting as many people as they want. I mean, look at the Scooter Libby case. Scooter Libby, I think, is a good example of what's wrong with this system that we have. Scooter Libby never leaked Valerie Plame's name. Valerie Plame's name was leaked to reporters by Richard Armitage, the Deputy Secretary of State. Now, Rich Armitage was never charged with that crime, but Scooter Libby was. Why?
Just for the audience.
Yes.
Who might not remember who she was.
Right. Valerie Plame was a covert CIA officer who was married to a U.S. ambassador, a former U.S. ambassador to Niger, who was asked by the Bush administration to go to Niger and ask Nigerian authorities if they had sold yellowcake uranium to the Iraqi government. They had not. And that didn't fit the Bush administration's policy against Iraq. And so she was outed, which ruined her career and forced her into retirement. But Scooter Libby never leaked Valerie Plame's name. People think that he did because he was convicted. He was convicted on 5 felony counts, but every one of these counts was one of these so-called throwaway charges. It was 2 counts of perjury and 3 counts of making a false statement. And his sentence was commuted by President Bush, so he never went to prison. But he spent millions of dollars in legal fees. It ruined him personally. And we're seeing the same thing now starting today. This Mueller investigation can go forever if Mueller and Congress want it to. And it can just consume everybody in its path and still never come to the conclusion that there was any collusion between the White House and Russia.
But in the meantime, it can pile up all these derivative charges, throwaway charges, as you call them, and, you know, generate the right headlines. So-and-so is, as of today, it's, most people think Manafort was indicted for something to do with Russia, even though, you know, they explain that in the story. The headline is, and that's being promoted, you know, that this indirect contact through Yanukovych and Russia, because as you say, Brian, Russia's a Yanukovych guy, that means it has something to do with Russia, and Russia was behind it all. And it's really just very simple. What's interesting to me is that you're saying, Dan, about this can go on as long as it's funded by the Congress. And it's interesting to see that the Republicans are willing to fund this. And are they doing this because they're stuck politically, or are they doing this because they also want to discipline Trump?
Okay, Dan, if you want to jump in, you can do that on that question. Go ahead.
I do think there's a bipartisan goal to discipline Trump, particularly when it comes to Russia. I mean, I think, you know, if you look back to last year around this time, there were officials in the CIA and FBI who openly, publicly said, warned Trump against resetting relations with Russia. And that, you know, the seeds of all of this seem to stem from that there's very much a consensus in Washington that we are not to be friends with Russia, that they are going to continue to be our eternal adversary. And I think that, you know, the goal of all this is to make sure that is the case. And that's why all this worries me, you know. And also the other thing we didn't mention, you know, Manafort is also being accused of conspiring against the United States. You know, and I'm not a Manafort fan or Trump fan or anything, but, you know, the idea that he conspired against the United States somehow, you know, I'm afraid we're going to get in all, you know, anti-seditions stuff here, you know? And again, what implications is it going to have?
We're going to talk about those implications when we come back after a short break. You're listening to Loud and Clear. Stay with us.
Loud and Clear.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR.
Loud and Clear.
Welcome back to Loud and Clear. I'm Brian Becker.
And I'm John Kiriakou.
We're talking about the indictments of Paul Manafort and Gates and Papadopoulos and maybe others today in Washington, D.C. We're joined for this panel from New York by Jim Kavanaugh. He is the editor of thepolemicist.net. We're also joined from Pittsburgh by Dan Kovalik, a human rights and labor lawyer who is the author of The Plot to Scapegoat Russia. You know, it's interesting what Jim Kavanaugh mentioned. The indictments has these words, conspiracy against the U.S. That's the language of Mueller's indictment. And then you get down. So that sounds like, wow, that sounds like Russia, right?
Right.
That sounds like they're working
treason.
In conspiracy.
That's right.
As espionage.
Yes.
But then you find out the conspiracy against the U.S. is actually a conspiracy against the IRS to not pay taxes.
Right. Which happens every single day in this country.
Right. And Paul Manafort, many of the big corporations, they have offshore accounts too,
sure.
But it's legal. Like Apple isn't an American company. It's an Irish company, and it doesn't pay any American federal income tax or corporate tax. There are many, many other corporations that have decided they're going to be non-American. But anyway, Manafort did it illegally, according to the indictment. We don't know. And these are allegations, but it's plausible. Let's put it that way. $75 million that he hid, hid offshore so he wouldn't have to pay taxes. And then he used that money to buy properties in the United States, according to the indictment. And then he went to the banks and said, look, I have these properties here in the United States that I bought with this money that I got from unreported income. And that's my collateral. And then he got lower bank rates, lower interest rates. And that's the fraud against the banks, that he got a lower interest rate than what he should have been charged. I mean, that's in a way, it's kind of funny. But when you look at that whole thing and then you title it conspiracy against the U.S., it makes you really come to the belief that the indictment is written not so much to reflect the facts, but for the headlines, for the media. And I think as we're speaking right now about what happened today. I agree with, I can't remember whether it was Dan or Jim said, I bet you 95% of the people in the United States feel Donald Trump's former campaign chairman was indicted today because of collusion with Russia.
Sure. And don't forget that what we're talking about today is what the Justice Department wants us to talk about, right? It's the Justice Department that released the indictment. It's the Justice Department that has been leaking to the major news outlets. We have only the Justice Department's version. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that the Justice Department lies. The Justice Department will leak to make you look terrible, to pollute the jury pool, and to convict you even before you see the inside of a courtroom. That's just the way it is. You know, there's an old saying that a jury in Washington would convict a ham sandwich if the prosecutors asked it to. And it's true. It's a saying because it's true and it happens every day. So what we're seeing right now is the Justice Department's effort to sway public opinion before either one of these two men get a single day in court to defend themselves.
There's another part to it, Dan and Jim, which is that as I think one of you mentioned that before, or John mentioned that, in fact, that George W. Bush pardoned Liddy.
He commuted his sentence.
But here we have, and Trump could pardon these guys.
Sure.
But there's a parallel investigation going on in New York State, which is about the same issues of tax evasion and money laundering. And thus, if the New York State Attorney General brings the case, Donald Trump has no authorization. So, in other words, the message is to Manafort, don't expect help from Trump because we'll get you at the state level. Thus, unless you actually say something that we want you to say about Donald Trump and his collusion with Russia, unless you do that, plan to spend a good number of years in prison. And of course, the public won't mind that because the details of Manafort's corruption are so sensational. He spent $849,000 at a men's clothing store in New York, an additional $520,000 at a clothing store in Beverly Hills. He spent $934,350 for Persian antique rugs at one Alexandria store. I mean, when people hear stuff like this, they're like, yes, yeah, send him to prison. Manafort knows the stage has been set for him to go to prison for quite a long time, unless he says something that the investigators want him to say.
And we all know that what the investigators want him to say is that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and the government of Russia.
Right, because they actually have no facts. They have to get somebody to snitch. I mean, that when you boil it down, it's just a snitching exercise. You know, in a witch hunt, if you don't testify against others, if you don't show that you're part of the team, you go down too. Now they're giving him a real chance. You're going to actually go to prison or you can be part of the team. Dan Koval, go ahead.
Yeah, well, this has all the more, you know, as you describe it, it has all the earmarkings of McCarthyism. I mean, that's how McCarthyism worked. It was to create this environment where everyone snitched on each other. And I think John, you know, explained it well. You know, when you read the indictment against Manafort, if you read it with a critical eye, you wonder, what's this? Why is this word Russia related in there when describing this Ukrainian party that Manafort was working for? It adds nothing to the indictment. It's totally irrelevant. It'd be irrelevant if it were, you know, Chad related or Indonesian related. But it's thrown in there for a political purpose, not for a legal or criminal purpose. And I think it's obviously signaling, you know, what this investigation's about. And again, what I'm most concerned about is that it's Russia that's on trial more than any of these individuals. And they will never have their day in court.
I agree with that. And I think because even if the Democrats or Democratic officials go down like Podesta might be going down too. Nonetheless, the bottom line is Russia is influencing all sectors of the American political establishment. They're colluding not just with Russia, they're colluding and trying to have influence everywhere. I mean, I'm looking at Washington Post stories where when they're talking about today's indictments and they talk about the Russian hack of the Democratic National Committee computers.
Which has never, ever been
proven. I mean, they're just saying it. It's just like, they don't say according to the FBI or, I mean, they're just saying like, it's an obvious fact, but do we know? I mean, did the FBI ever look at the DNC computers, look at the servers and say, for sure, this was a Russian hack? Did
never.
They?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, why didn't they subpoena the Democratic National Committee servers and say, show it to us? But of course, the DNC said, we don't want to cooperate, but it's true. And don't read those emails about how we screwed Bernie Sanders, because just remember, they came from the Russians. I mean, that's the narrative. It's that thin.
Again, the bottom line is take our word for it. That's what they want us to do. Just take their word for it.
Yeah. In the Washington Post right now, here's the article. But those definitive statements about there not being collusion are very hard to make, since legal efforts say this is very likely to be the beginning, not the end of the probe by special counsel Mueller, and no collusion is not ruled out. Okay. No collusion is not ruled out, then guess what? By the fact that it hasn't been ruled out, the investigation can go on. And guess what? Everybody believe that there is collusion, even though all we know now is that it's not ruled out. Dan Kovalik, I mean, where do we end up with this? How does this play out? How do you see this impacting the White House? Maybe Trump is saying, look, this doesn't prove collusion, and he's right. I mean, again, for all those people who might not know me, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, active organizer, advocate against Donald Trump's reactionary policies, but he's right about that. It doesn't show any collusion.
Yes, well, that's absolutely right, and I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not a fan, but it doesn't show collusion. Again, what we've seen happening, though, is that what this Russiagate investigation has accomplished, and accomplished very well, is to force or at least coax the Trump White House into a more adversarial relationship with Russia, you know, to the point where Trump ordered the shutting down of the oldest Russian consulate in the United States, which was in San Francisco, taking down the Russian flag from there.
Taking the property there. Going through the documents. I mean, completely a complete awful violation of international law. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And, you know, we seem to be doubling down in Syria. And again, it seems that any chance for rapprochement with Russia, which did seem possible a few months ago, you know, when Trump sat down with Putin at the G20, and they made some agreements to work on some issues like Ukraine and Syria. And immediately Congress moved to sanction Russia, apparently, to prevent any rapprochement. And again, I think any rapprochement with Russia in the foreseeable future is off the table. And I think that's what this investigation has done. That's what it's accomplished. And I think we'll see in the long run that will probably be the result of all this. And again, I think you're going to see a number of people go down, probably for little to nothing having to do with collusion with Russia. But it will leave, you know, the belief will linger in Americans' minds for years to come that Russia was somehow this influencer of the U.S. elections in 2016.
Brian, there's another story that's sort of bubbling under the surface here, too. It's something that we haven't addressed yet, and that is rumors from Capitol Hill that some Republican lawmakers are privately urging President Trump to fire Special Counsel Mueller and to make this entire thing go away. And there was a piece in the Washington Post this morning saying that Democrats have heard these same rumors and that they have been working with like-minded Republicans to try to counter this effort and to get to the president today to urge him to continue his support for Mueller. But, you know, this could be a Friday Night Massacre all over again.
Well, I mean, you can't over or underestimate, I always get that confused, how Donald Trump could badly miscalculate.
Indeed.
The firing of James Comey was by far the biggest and most ridiculous step that Trump took. It invited a special counsel. It invited the thing to happen that he did not want to have it completely out of his control. He did that anyway because he miscalculated. So Donald Trump makes big mistakes. The reason he fired Comey, in addition to not liking Comey and wanting to have his own guy and the fact that Comey wouldn't say publicly what he was telling him privately, which is you, Donald Trump, are actually not under investigation for collusion. In addition to that, Donald Trump was counting on the Democrats like a slapping on the back and saying, good job, James Comey's a rat. Mm-hmm. He's awful. Because they were all trashing James Comey.
Sure,
so anyway,
he supposedly doomed Hillary.
Yeah. So Donald Trump can make very, very, very big mistakes. But that said, if Trump were to fire Mueller, it would be political suicide. It wouldn't just be a colossal blunder. It would be political suicide because then all of the adversaries of Trump and all of those who are charging collusion would say there's only one reason he fired Mueller. It's because Mueller was getting close.
And then the attorney general of the state of New York becomes the most famous Democratic politician in this country.
Indeed. I want to give Amber Phillips, the Washington Post reporter who wrote today's article, some sort of award for the worst piece of garbage journalism in the year 2017. I mean, it is here. I want to just keep reading this to you and to our audience. Trump's main argument here is that the FBI in some form or another has been looking into this for more than a year, and that because it hasn't come to a conclusion about collusion, there must be none. It's true that Manafort and Gates' indictment doesn't mention the Trump campaign and refers to alleged crimes over the past decade, but that doesn't mean the probe is over. He could indict Manafort or anyone else of collusion-connected crimes anytime he has evidence to do so, said Jens David Olin, a vice dean at Cornell University. And then here it is. You can't rule out that Mueller didn't rule out Manafort colluding with Russia. Okay. This is Amber Phillips, Garbage Award, Worst Piece of Journalism 2017. Go ahead, Jim.
No, there's another aspect of this, which I think is, you know, given, you know, after Trump's performance at the UN, after his ridiculous threat to North Korea and his ridiculous talk about Iran and pulling out of the Iran deal, this is becoming part and parcel of a whole image. The image of reasonable, orderly American politics is just down the drain. This is further ridiculizing American politics and creating a situation. You know, the Europeans don't really want to have a war with Russia. They don't. They have commercial and economic interests in having good relations with Russia. So all of this is something which, you know, from my point of view, it's good news a little bit, that it's creating a situation which may get the Europeans to, you know, act on their own, to act a little bit independently, not to go along with the war with Iran, not to go along with the war in North Korea, because this creates a situation where the image of the American, whole American polity and American political life is, you know, just crazy. It's out of control.
I really want to keep reading Amber Phillips' article. I mean, I'm just looking at it and my jaw is dropping. From Amber, why this indictment, which doesn't mention any collusion with Russia, doesn't really mean that there's not collusion with Russia. She quotes a white collar lawyer, meaning somebody who's defending people accused of white collar crimes. Quote, Mueller wouldn't have hired 17 people to investigate these events just to indict some tangential person unrelated to the campaign. Thus, proof that even though there's no reference to collusion, that there's not going to be collusion. They hired lawyers. They hired investigators. They didn't do this just to get Papadopoulos. Of course. Wow. Amazing journalism. We have 2 minutes left. I want to give both of you 1 minute to sum up, to help our audience understand what kind of time we live in and what we, the people of the United States, should be doing right now, or what we should be thinking about as we go into this next stage of the witch hunt. 2 months left. 2 minutes left, not 2 months. That would be too long. Jim Kavanaugh, you start.
Well, as I said, I think we're living in a situation where the political framework and the political packs, if you will, that govern the country for the past 10 years are in crisis. The Republicans are in a civil war. Nobody knows how to control Donald Trump. And they're fishing around for ways to make sure that the heat is still on with Russia and to cage Donald Trump into the policies that they want, which is mainly confrontation with Russia. And this is something which is devastating to the American polity at this point. This is going to go on forever. I can't believe how relentless this is, how far this has gone. And as you say, the special counsel can do this forever and can go anywhere he wants with this, and they will.
For the next 8 years, next 4 years, we don't know how long. 1 minute left. Dan Kovalik, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, my main focus and what I would urge folks to focus on really is, you know, to build a peace movement in the United States. You know, we need to stop the next war, whether it be with Russia or North Korea or Iran. And all this is all very related. You know, this act of vilifying countries based on either bad facts or little facts is just dangerous. And the one fear I have, of course, as many presidents have done, is they deflect, you know, these type of controversies by going to war. And that would be the last thing we should want.
Yeah, Bill Clinton dropped some cruise missiles on Sudan on the day the Monica Lewinsky testimony was coming up. We remember that in 1999, the U.S. destroyed the only factory that made anti-malarial drugs in Sudan that day, but it changed the headlines. Anyway, we're out of time. We want to thank Jim Kavanaugh and Dan Kovalik. After a short break, we'll be right back with the big stories of the day. Stay with us.
Loud and clear.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR.